Let me go ahead and get started. I'll start with the agenda review. We'll do the usual boilerplate, IP note, call notes, scribe selection, introductions, reintroductions, announcements and reminders, progress and action items, and then note that I added a brief Department of Education report out. A few of us from this community were there last Friday. And so the bulk of the conversation will be this new worker item proposal, credential issuer and verifier APIs. So we have Marcus and Manu and whoever else wants to speak to that to give us an overview. And then lastly, we'll close on some scribe tool issues, ongoing questions. So I think we need an action plan. But the agenda got pretty packed. It's possible we won't be able to make it too far into that, but we'll see where we get. Anyone have anything to add to the agenda? Okay, I'll go ahead and get started. IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work item must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Here's the link to join the CCG. And you may need to ensure you have a W3C account first, which is available here. And then lastly, the text of the W3C Community Contributor License Agreement is available at this link. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at the location I'm pasting into chat. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call, as well as take minutes. All attendees should type present, plus you'll see a lot of other people doing that now, to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. In IRC, type Q, the letter Q plus, no space in between, to add yourself to the queue with an optional reminder. So, for example, you could say Q plus to mention did spec needs, something, and the word to TO is required. If you're not on IRC, you can simply ask to be put on the queue, and please be brief so the rest of the queue gets a chance to chime in. You can always plus again. The last note, the meeting is held by voice, not IRC, so off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion. Okay, scribe selection. We need a volunteer, and oh, great. Someone gave us an example. Okay, we need a scribe, and we work through this list. Let me try to do a quick look to see who we have up next. Benjamin Young, are you a scribe?
Benjamin's my owner.
What's that? I'm going to skip over Daniel Buckner because he just scribed. I don't see David Chadwick. Jarlis. I don't see him. Still, there's a lot of people that I don't see in IRC that I'm skipping over. Amy, set her regrets. Jonathan Holt, will you be able to scribe?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'll move you to the very end of the list as our thanks and appreciation. Okay, and next up on our agenda, we have introductions. First, let me do a scan to see if we have anyone new to the call. The alias D. Strakis, if you're able to introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi. This is Danny Strakis. I'm actually a colleague of Daniel Buckner's at Microsoft, and this is the first time joining this particular call, but I've been working on this stuff with Daniel for a while now.
Great. Thanks for joining us. Sorry, just one second. I'm doing some accounting stuff. So I'm sorry, let me make sure I got your – it was Daniel Strakis?
Yeah, I go by Danny, but yeah, Daniel's fine. Danny. Just two.
Okay, great. Thank you. Who else? Simone. Is this Simone from Simone Ravioli?
Yes, Kim. Hello, everyone. This is Simone Ravioli. I'm with Digitary. And it's the first time I joined the call, but I've been following online, but never in real time.
Great. Thank you for joining us. Great to have you. And who else? Troy Ronda. Okay, we'll skip for now. Anyone else that I didn't, Joel H., would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I've been on for a while. It looks like there's another Joel, the Joel underscore, so from USA, working in advanced research and identity things, so thanks.
Great, thanks for joining us.
I'm new. This is Riley Hughes from Street Cred. So we just joined Diff, and this is my first time on this call.
Great. Riley.
Hi, this is...
Go ahead.
Sorry, this is Thomas Love, also from Street Cred ID. Been active in the decentralized community for a while. First time on the call.
Thanks for joining us. And sorry, your name again was... I think, someone got it. I'm having a hard time with some background noise. Okay, great. I think we have accounting for everyone. Thanks. Thanks for the introductions. And let me see for reintroductions. Let's see. How about for reintroductions, I'll call on Carl DiClementi.
Hi, this is Carl DiClementi, VP of Product at Factomain. We're working with the other members of the DHS SVIP program to deliver some interoperability, and the big focus of that is going to be the topic of discussion today, specifically around the verify and issue APIs. Happy to be here.
Great, thank you. Okay, let's move to the next part. We have announcements and reminders. Note that we're keeping this update, this link here that I pasted in IRC. So it's at our GitHub page /announcements. We've got a few things coming up, and feel free to add yourself to the queue if you want to add something. I'll just do a quick overview. End of January, so the 29th through 31st, is the W3C face-to-face in Amsterdam. register one sec. Okay, 16th of March through 20th of March is rebooting Web of Trust 10 in Buenos Aires. And I noticed, I think just today, an Eventbrite got released, so the site hasn't yet been updated with that, but perhaps one of Joe or Christopher can add that. April 5th through 8th is No Identity in Las Vegas. A lot of people from this community end up going there. That is this link. And IIW in Mountain View, California, the spring version will be in end of April, 28th through 30th. Link coming here. And then the last thing that you see people from the space going to frequently is IdentiFirst in Denver, Colorado, which is 8th through 11th of June. And I see, I think, Heather on the queue. Heather, you're up.
Hey, Kim. Hey, everyone. Just wanted to let you guys know that I've got two things of interest to the group. I just sent some emails as well. The final report from my DHS-funded research on digital identity is released today. This was a really fantastic research. Juan Caballero worked very closely with me on this, and we outreached over 80 people and interviewed like 40 people. And if you are interested in decentralized identity with IoT tracking, all kinds of really juicy stuff not having to do with humans, I recommend you download that. The other thing that I'm doing, and I'll put a link in the thing unless someone else has already done it. The other thing I want to mention is that I've kicked off a State of Decentralized Identity 2020 survey, and I'm just really curious of how things are changing. I'm taking the temperature of the community, so please take that survey, and I will share the results publicly as I always do with this type of research.
Thank you, Heather. Let's see. Okay, it looks like Juan gave the link to the report, a Bitly report. So thank you, Juan, and thank you, Heather. And the Eventbrite, I noticed Christopher pasted in there as well. Okay, next we're going to move to progress on action items. And we maintain the list of action items we're going to review right here. So we've done some pretty good work closing out the action items from the end of last year. We have a few lingering ones. Let's see. I'm going to skip over scribe tool issues because that's for later in the topic. But one I would like to call out is we have a couple of JSON-LD-related issues, and I'm trying to figure out how to close these. One sec. That was not what I meant to paste. Sorry, I want to look at the link. Okay, so this issue is need to host schema for current JSON-LD signatures. There's some bullets added here, and I see assignees being Christopher and Manu. Can I call on one of you to report the status on that and see how close we are to being finished?
This is issue 97, Kalia. Not much progress. So it's no progress.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where the priority is so low that it's not getting attention. The stuff on EDVs and DID core and all that kind of stuff is the stuff that's getting attention these days.
So a question about all the, you know, we have, let's see, JSON-LD signature. Oh, right, because this is a digital verification issue. So I think we have a related issue of I don't know, anything that we're not making progress on or see making progress on, I'm tempted to try to file away. And so it's possible we may need to lump together a bunch of digital verification issues so that when that does get some more momentum, we can address it. It's possible. Christopher, do you have anything to add on that?
Does anybody else have a Jason LD signing? You know, I'm or depend on it. And I mean, this is getting, you know, I mean, I know it's low priority for Digital Bazaar, but I think that, you know, we're at, you know, systemic risk in the system that since we don't have a good implementation of this, that, you know, a lot of our arguments and discussions about JSON LD are completely mute because we can't use it and we're going to lose it. And I think there are some important properties of it. So Digital Bazaar can't do it, hasn't done it for a year. Is there anybody else who's dependent on it? You know, is there some way to work together on getting a reference implementation and a spec that other people can build on? So I'm just putting that out there. But I think we should, you know, basically close this issue as failed. You know, we've brought it up 4 or 5 times. That has, you know, so that's it.
Thank you. And I have a quick point of order. I noticed some discussion on RG about background noise. So Manu and Dave, and so it looks like you muted Kalia. The background noise went away, but I guess we just wanted to tell her that they muted you. So if you need to talk, unmute, because they were picking up some background noise. Manu, did you have anything you wanted to add on there? I'm not sure I got the latest.
About the mute thing or the...
Yeah.
So I'm going to unmute you, Kalia. So you are now unmuted and I can hear the background noise again. Please mute
Thanks.
Your headset.
Sorry, I'll mute.
No problem.
I'm sorry, I was distracted.
No problem. Okay, there we go. All right, now you have control over mute.
Thank you. And actually, Jonathan Holt is up next. So, Jonathan?
No, just responding to Christopher, I think the as far as JSON LD signatures, I think the issue really is just about hosting the schema. And I guess my question really is about just the JSON LD parsing, because I'm having an issue with I'm not using it in my method, but actually I want to support it. But I'm having issues with JSON LD parsing with the RDF normalization algorithm is still in draft and not finalized. So it has other dependencies, I think, is why it's actually being stalled.
Okay. Manu, you're up.
I think the difficult thing about this, these set of concerns is everyone's asking for something different. So, and then claiming that it's not there when some of it is and some of it isn't. We probably need to pick this up on a different call. Just to be clear, there is absolutely a reference implementation for all of this stuff. It is written in JavaScript, and that is the reference implementation. And companies have been using it for many years now. So there is a reference implementation. There may not be an implementation in the language that you want it to be in, right? So there are some people that are working on a C++ version of this and have for a while. They haven't delivered anything yet, but that's, you know, working on it. There have been requests that there be a JSON LD context put together for linked data signatures. This has existed since the beginning, right? So the newest one is the Security V2 context that I just linked to. That exists and has existed, and implementations have been using it for multiple years. These specs are out of date. So the specs need to be updated. It is working on the specs that is a low priority, because people are delivering stuff to customers with the reference implementations and with the JSON LD context, the verifiable credentials. JSON LD context has the stuff that you need to do digital signatures in there. The DID context has the stuff that you need to do digital signatures in there. So if you want to deploy this stuff, you should have the things that you need today. if you're deploying in any kind of JavaScript environment. If you're not in a JavaScript environment, different people are working on different things. The examples are out of date, so we do need to work on the examples. But it's really, it's the documentation that is not moving forward. It's not the implementations. The implementations are there. So I just want to make it clear, because Christopher, you keep saying that, you know, things aren't here and this is a failure and we're not moving forward. I want to be very specific. We're not moving forward on the things that you want us to move forward on. There are other things that we are absolutely moving forward on. So it is creating issues, though, right? And we need people to step forward and do the documentation. But I think we are mis-messaging what's actually going on, right? And we should probably have another discussion on another call about that, because this keeps happening and keeps coming up.
Christopher, you're up next.
You might be muted, Christopher.
What I keep running into is, you know, parties saying, oh, well, we were working on a C++ version, but then, you know, the examples are all out of date, and so we can't make it work. Or someone else saying, oh, well, the JavaScript thing, you know, requires, you know, X, Y, and Z extra other stuff, and we don't use, you know, we don't know how to use that, you know. So, but half, you know, I mean, yes, it is a documentation problem. I think I very much disagree as to, you know, that it's a low priority, because I think it's stopping other people from implementing, or other people are getting signals that it's not worth implementing. And I think it is worth implementing. So I don't know. I mean, maybe there's some kind of staged documentation where, if nothing else, you update the examples, you update pointing people to the JavaScript reference implementation, you know, point to, you know, hey, you know, here's some, you know, working examples that you can look at and compare against. But even if you don't have a formal W3C, JSON LD, whatever, that is, you know, spec worthy, that documentation is lacking or hard to find or hard to point to. And it's causing the larger ecosystem, who might be, you know, willing to support JSON LD, to basically go, well, maybe we should just do the JWT. I mean, there's the GitHub. I don't know. I'm just, you know, so I've said my piece there.
Yeah, so actually, and we have a large queue building up, so I'm going to freeze it at Dimitri. I think my main thing is we keep having GitHub issues talking about JSON-LD, and I think the thing is that what I'm hoping is that either there's a JSON-LD focus group, which I thought that there was a JSON-LD working group coming up, in which case, like, I'm looking for a place to sort of send these issues and, you know, things that come up. There's mailing list threads talking about, you know, JSON-LD implementation practices. And I think my main concern right now is that these aren't kind of being filed away to a good location so that people can learn from, you know, what we're discussing. So whether that's forming, you know, do we need to send these to some upcoming JSON-LD working group? If so, that's totally fine. Do we need to come up with a task force with volunteers within CCG? I'd just like to have someone kind of put their brain around this problem and find some good structure for it. I think to Manny's point, if we don't have a good candidate for that, I think we should discuss that in a future call, come up with a plan of attack, because it is starting to be a little unwieldy. And Ori, you're up.
Yeah, so I kind of agree with Christopher on this issue. I think the challenge that, you know, I think the challenge that we face is that there are a lot of, you know, pieces of documentation that are out of date places. And the reality is that all of those that are not receiving regular commits or updates need to be marked as stale and deprecated. And we need to centralize the documentation in a single place where all of the interested parties that are motivated to support JSON Link Data or that have a vested interest in its success can contribute to correcting these documentation issues. And no one is going to update documentation until having up-to-date documentation is a requirement for using the technology. So we need to basically look at the cases where we're using JSON Link Data, and we need to require up-to-date documentation as a blocker for integrating the technology in those cases, and the documentation will get fixed right away. So my first concrete proposal is we need a single GitHub repository that tracks the latest version of JSON Link Data signatures documentation, and if the Digital Bazaar repo is the best working reference implementation, I propose that it also hosts the best version of the documentation and that we all contribute to fixing it there. I don't want to have to crawl across 5 to 10 different repos opening pull requests to link to the latest version of the JSON-LD spec.
Yeah, that's totally reasonable. I think that would help address, if we have that single GitHub repo, then at least the issues, the conversation can be centered around that location. So I think it sounds like we should discuss this soon on an upcoming call. Perhaps next week, if possible, we might be able to devote some time to it. Give a plus one in IRC if you're interested in having a call on that. And I think we're going to close out this action item since we talked about that for longer than I expected. One of the other issues I was going to talk about was also a JSON-LD issue, but it also has these, it's touching on JSON-LD documentation and best practices, so it's going to have the same concern. So in the interest of moving forward, I'll move on to the Department of Education report out. So let me give some context for what that was. So it was the U.S. Department of Education has been very interested in blockchain and education efforts, and they've been convening a set of meetings, sort of by invite for people who are working in the education credentials space, blockchain and not, but touching on self-sovereign identity. And so there were a few people from the CG community there, and Drummond Reed and I co-presented some of the sessions. And so the focus of that discussion was very much sort of socializing SSI among the education community. So what was really interesting is that the FERPA, actually I don't know exactly what that stands for, but the Education Privacy Regulation in the U.S., in the U.S. with credentials, there's a lot of regulations that do not really match up with SSI principles. So, for example, when people who are interested in read the law, the principles of SSI, and see words like consent and control, they get a little shaken up because their notions of these words and even whether they're applicable are very different. So I think it was really interesting because I think, the goal of that meeting was not to make technical progress or move forward on an agreement, but I think it was to start understanding what are the requirements, start to speak the same language and have the discussions that we need to have. But what was interesting is that there is definitely interest in adopting adapting the systems we have now so that learners and recipients can have control over their credentials. And I think that there's a lot of interest in sort of refocusing on developing a set of SSI principles in the education. So to Elizabeth Ranieris's work on contextual identity, you know, selecting a given vertical, what would they mean in this space? Like, you know, what are the parameters involved? What the laws of SSI would be like? So I think that there's a lot of interest in approaching it, you know, with education in mind. And I think that with that lens, I think we might be able to get to sort of a generalizable approach to SSI, so that it might be able to be extended to make more sense in different verticals. So I think that was very, you know, I felt good about the, you know, commitment to moving forward with, they're moving forward with SSI. Drummond, if you're on, is there anything you wanted to add?
No, I was. I thought it was a fabulous event. I actually, the combination of the interest in the standards, meaning specifically DIDs and verifiable credentials, and how they, you know, work together and form a whole infrastructure over which they can then implement governance frameworks that could work for education. Just huge interest in that and validation in what we, you know, have been developing in terms of the standards here that, you know, CCG and then the DID Working Group, Verifiable Credentials Working Group have been developing. FERPA actually stands, interestingly enough, for the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. And I've always thought it meant something around federal education privacy. But the bottom line is, think it's GDPR for educational information in the U.S. And when I say GDPR, I mean it's pretty strict regulations around what can be disclosed about educational records. And it's perfectly suited. The whole presentation in the afternoon around FERPA and SSI, and they were trying to say, well, FERPA has this notion of consent, but SSI doesn't have this clear notion of consent. And we educated the FERPA team that was there. Well, you're comparing apples and oranges. SSI is an infrastructure in which you can implement governance frameworks and verifiable credentials with DIDs and implement all the things you need to control with FERPA. But, you know, FERPA's a regulation which you can turn around and use to govern how you would control the flow of data and the use of identity. And I think that really opened their eyes about that. I know the team that I talked to. So I think we made a lot of progress in terms of the, you know, the knowledge of the educational space, and that there were about 100 people there, and they really are at the center of it. I also, Kim's being modest, but she was, you know, the presenter of, you know, sort of what are the current initiatives in the space and the ones she's helping lead. And, you know, it's clear that you've already, Kim, established a lot of credibility around the standards in the space. So I think there's huge opportunities for adoption within that space. They feel like they're just rabid for it, because when you think about it, it's the only industry that I'm aware of whose end product is credentials, right? The educational credentials you get going through the system. And there are also big emphasis, by the way, on learner earners, lifelong learning, and being able to, you know, continue to accumulate those credentials for life. So that's my brief report.
Thanks, Truman. And I'm working on getting some links if people want to join in those conversations. I think it's going to be there's some efforts going on through the T3 Innovation Network. They are not intending to be a full-time destination for these standards. So everything we're building is open, open source, open standards. Currently, the notion is that they'll end up in some, you know, some artifacts of the work will end up in an ICEE education focus group, CM4LTS, but I think that there might be interesting things that we can bring into SSI communities for comment. I think, you know, a lot of what the focus there is very tailored on educational access control types of issues, but I think, you know, it'll be a good time pretty soon to start engaging broader parts of the SSI community. And so we'll pass along some information about good ways to get involved. Let's see if we have any Q. I'm blushing, so I won't even comment on all the compliments. But thank you, everyone. and so let's see. That was it for Department of Education report out. Let's move on to the new work item proposal, which is credential issuer and verifier APIs. Let me see. And actually, who is going to drive this? Is that you, Marcus? Okay, great. Thanks. So I included the link for the credential issuer and verifier APIs. There's been also some discussion on the mailing list. And so, Marcus, can I turn it over to you to give a quick overview? And I'll also, if you'd like, I'll also ask you to manage the queue during this section.
Yeah, thank you. So the a little bit of background, the U.S. government has been mentioned quite a bit on this call. DHS has been mentioned a few times. So right now, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has a project whose topic is called the Preventing Forgery and Counterfeiting of Certificates and Licenses. This is part of what's called the Silicon Valley Innovation Program, where the government works with startups that are building interesting, useful technologies, in this case related to deeds and verifiable credentials and decentralized identity. DHS has already supported quite a bit of work in this space. Right now, that project is about building digital versions of credentials or identity documents, for example, residence cards or visa or identity documents of that nature. And a number of companies, number of startups from this community are participating there. So that's the background. What is the work item about? One of the requirements is that different solutions of different companies or different projects that are building verifiable credentials solutions should be interoperable and replaceable. So if an issuer, for example, is using a product of company A for issuing verifiable credentials, then it would be beneficial to be able to replace a product of company A for issuing credentials with a different issuing product by company B without impacting everything that that the customer, that a certain issuing party has already built. So this is about preventing vendor lock-in. This is about being able to replace issuing and verifying capabilities by different vendors or different implementations. And one component of that, and this is one of the things that has been requested by the government, is to standardize or to come to some agreement on an API for issuing credentials and an API for verifying credentials. The main thing to understand here is that this is not about transferring credentials between an issuer and the holder and the verifier. So this is not about an API for moving credentials over the wire between these parties. This is not an alternative or a competing proposal to things like DITCOM or CHAPI, a credential handler API, or OpenID Connect. Those are all ways or initiatives in this space for that part of the architecture for transferring or for moving credentials and presentations between issuers, holders, and verifiers. So this is only about internal APIs. This is about if you are an issuer, if you want to issue credentials, you have some existing infrastructure, you have some existing database or CRM system or something, and now you want to start issuing credentials. Now, what API do you call or what do you do in order to use some kind of software component that is capable of issuing a credential? The work item right now has a first initial proposed draft, which I wrote up, but this is not something I made up myself. This is already a product of some collaboration between different participants of this Silicon Valley Innovation Program. And there's already been some feedback from the community. There are some known weaknesses already in these APIs. I could elaborate on that a bit more, but I think it's the way I understood the process is that it's fine to propose and start a work item, even though there are known issues and things that need to be improved. As I said, I could go into some more detail into what those weaknesses are, but maybe I'll stop here for the moment and see if there's any feedback or questions.
And I'll add a quick note. So the goal of this conversation is, you know, the team has proposed it as a work item. They have multiple authors or editors, I forget what we call it now, New Year. But so I think that they have the kind of basics in place. The only concern is if there are any substantive objections to starting this working group. I think there it's okay if they start the working group and there are concerns going into it. So if you do have concerns, this is totally a fine time to bring it up. But we don't have to necessarily resolve all concerns before starting it as a work item. So with that said, I noticed John Jordan's on the queue. John?
Right. Good morning, afternoon. I guess if that's the case, then I would say I would support the idea of a working group. Just wanted to note that we have been working in that kind of model where we have enterprise services that need to participate in credential exchange. And so our Aries Cloud Agent has a API defined, not like fixed or anything like that, but we'd be happy to collaborate in that working group. And I can post a few links for folks if they want to check out what we have working, you know, as a part of the contribution.
Thanks.
Yes. Thanks, John. I think that would be great. I think a lot of companies or a lot of projects in this space have already built something like that for themselves. And I think the U.S. government is aware of that and would like to, you know, standardize on that to make it easier for.
Yeah, and we have we're also starting a working group for Plaquipi, so folks are welcome to join there if they feel like that's a helpful thing.
And I realize I must have called it a working group. It's a, well, either a task force or a work, yeah, task force working on the work item. But yes, so I've forgotten all terminology after the break. I don't see anything else on the queue. So I think, I'm going to just quickly ask Joe and Christopher, do we need to do the 1 week countdown for this? Because I think we have all of the criteria met.
We do not. The 1 week is for making sure we have no substantive objections at the end of the work.
Right. Okay. So we've been talking about it on the mailing list for a while. So I think we can go ahead and approve this work item. I'll mark that and start the repo and everything. Okay,
yeah,
if
you start a repo, then what I would do is move the work that has been done so far into that repo, and then we can collaborate there. And I will also, or someone else, will do that. But I'll make sure that we'll create issues for some of those known open questions or things that need to be worked on. And if anyone has already done something like that, as John Jordan, for example, mentioned, but also others, would be good to get. And any existing works that in this direction could be shared would be useful.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Okay. So we made very fast progress on that, and so we can move on to scribe tool issues. I think we talk about, this is another one of those we talk about every few months or so, and then I think we all, everyone except for Manu at least, forgets why we're doing what we're doing, and so I was hoping that we could come up with an action plan for it. So the context is, let me think to this. Okay, it's captured because this conversation had gone on so long. I actually didn't find the message that I meant, because I think that Manu mentioned that at some point we should switch from what we have to another tool, which I think is the tool that they use in the DID working group, but I couldn't find that message. But the forcing function was the script, you know, I've spent a lot of time with that, you know, a new problem with sending email, and you know, after 5 minutes trying to debug it, I realized, okay, we're continuing to throw good money after bad. So you know, we've talked about some options for improving the scripts, and I wanted to see, is it, you know, is this a good time to cut over and use what something else like the DID working group is doing? You know, what are our options on it? Let me see. Everyone except Manu seems lost. Yeah, well, sort of, yes, because we keep forgetting. So, yeah. So, Manu, would you remind us for the 20th time or so? So, is it possible for us to just cut over and use the same kind of tooling that they're using in the DID working group, for example? Yeah. So Manu, just whatever you have to say, just fill it.
Sure. So I don't know is the short answer. Someone is going to have to take the action and see if they can get that working. The challenge is, you know, any kind of W3C working group, official working group, has to have official space on the W3C website. Because this group is fairly well known in W3C at this point, we may be able to request that, meaning that we may be able to request that they set up tooling for that. And if they do that, then we will be able to use that tooling. But we will definitely lose recordings if we do that, because W3C doesn't do audio recordings. So we'll lose all of the ability to send out audio recordings, but what we gain is the ability for other people to publish and clean up the minutes automatically. So, you know, it's a pain versus gain thing. The things that we're missing, the things that we don't know are whether or not W3C will agree to have us use their tooling. And if we do, then we will be able to automatically publish minutes at the end of calls, and they'll be published on the W3C website, and like all that kind of stuff, all that kind of goodness will happen. We may have to switch over to using WebEx, maybe not. So that's kind of a question that's up in the air. And we will definitely lose recordings, which some people say they really like because they listen to it for whatever reason on their drive into work or on long airplane rides. So that's kind of where we are. We could switch. My feeling is that the script is broken in a fairly simple way. So I don't expect it would take a lot to change it, but fix it. But that means that the burden's on you, Kim, or whoever else takes over publishing the minutes, and that burden has been, annoying enough for long enough for us to want to switch so that anyone in the group can publish the minutes. The other thing that I'll note is that the level of people wanting to switch to Zoom has gotten so high that it would almost be easier for me to just rewrite the software and put in Zoom support than continue to keep defending why we don't use a proprietary system in a standards activity to do communication. So this is all basically who wants to volunteer to set up the infrastructure again, right? The easiest, if we want to switch over to the scribe tool that Yvonne Herman wrote, which is really great, I suggest that we do that, then we may want to just have a chat with Yvonne and see what our options are there. If we want to switch over to Zoom, it's a, you know, someone is going to have to take that action, and it may only take you, you know, a week of effort to move everything over, or it may take you longer. And that's, I think, where we are.
I think if we switch to Zoom, so let's see, the main, so like what happens in the DID resolution group is I think that IRC is still used for logs of conversation, but I think they just published that log. And so there's not the HTML display that we usually have right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. I mean, there's going to be no infrastructure to publish our minutes to any kind of permanent location. It's just going to go to the mailing list. We will not have a website. We will not, things won't be indexed using Google, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Okay. And we have Wayne on the queue.
Oh, yeah, just a few seconds comment. We tried using Zoom in the diff, and we found a lot of people in China had problems connecting due to certain network line decisions there, so just want to bring that up.
That's a good point. Yeah, that was, I was thinking sort of the leading contender, but that's good to know. Were they able to work around it by, you know, there's the phone Zoom dial-ins, were they able to use that?
You have to pay attention to those features.
Yeah, it's like $50 a month, but anyway, sorry to extend my time.
Okay, let me see. Amanda, you're on the queue again.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention is that someone's going to have to pick up the cost for that, meaning like DigiBazaar picks up all the costs for everyone dialing in, phone or SIP or whatever, for these calls. I'm concerned that, I mean, we support other community group activities using our infrastructure, and I'm afraid that we're going to have to start paying double for everything. I'm a little hesitant to commit to us paying for that additional thing as well. The other concerns are that we're going to start sharing a lot of stuff via video, and that's fairly frowned upon in certain cases because it's exclusionary to people with sight disabilities or hearing disabilities and just something to keep in mind. Again, that's the reason we try to stick with text only, because people that have sight accessibility needs can interface with IRC. They have no such interface to Zoom. And the other thing is that a base Zoom subscription doesn't get you dial-in numbers around the world. You have to pay extra for that. It is just a little bit more, but I mean, we're talking, you know, several thousand dollars a year to support the type of infrastructure that we'd want. I think those are. The other thing is, you know, other people have been wanting to use Zoom for queue management, just have the text chat in Zoom instead of in IRC. So again, it kind of re-raises all of the questions that we keep revisiting every year on whether or not Zoom's going to work for
what
folks.
Management? Did you say key management? You said they want to use Zoom for something management.
Queue management.
Oh, queue. Okay, excellent. Right. There's queue, of course. Okay, thanks, Manu. That's helpful. There are definitely issues with Zoom. Jonathan, you're up.
So I think there is a SIP integration with Zoom. So is it possible to just integrate the two?
Mono's having
cost money. Probably because it just costs money. And it's so right now Digital Bazaar picks it up with a SIP integration, but it really is it'd be additional cost. So maybe that's just answer my own question.
Okay. Yeah, and it looks like Manu had to, he dropped off, but interesting. Okay, so Manu's back. Manu, I'm not sure if you're, well, it looks like you're back in IRC, but there was a question about using SIP integration with Zoom, but it sounds like there would be an additional cost. So. Okay, I think we may have lost him. Okay, but thanks for sharing the link to the connector, Wayne. This might be useful. So unknown. And we're close to ending, and there's no one left on the queue. So I'm not sure if we have a plan for this. Any other thoughts before we close the call? Okay, Nick, then regarding can we get W3C support, for example, get the W3C page and everything that a working group has so that we would be eligible for auto publish. Okay, sounds good. Okay, with that, everyone, we're finished, and thanks so much.